Record.
All right.
Okay. This should be less than half an hour.
We will see.
All right. Hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
And today we are dealing with an infestation of metal munchers.
This is awful perilous for these children.
This is episode 43 of the first season of Rescue Bots Academy. First aired November 2nd, 2019, and written by Rescue Bots regular Nicole Dubuck.
Nice. I guess that's why we get some callbacks here.
Yes. Mm. This is, in fact, the last episode of Rescue Bots Academy that she wrote.
Aww. Maybe she had to go work on Earthspark. I don't know what the overlap is.
This is entirely possible. Because then she does write a bunch of Earthspark.
Yeah, she was like, I think, one of the head writers on Earthspark for season one, at least. Mm. And a voice actor.
Yes. So we open in the Earth Museum, and it's full of a whole lot of nothing.
Yep.
What? Earth Museum is weird phrasing. It's a museum about Earth they have in their base.
Yes, that they are putting together. It is their Earth Museum.
Yeah.
I definitely see, like, a pile of cans. Apparently their newest exhibit is one of those paddles with a rubber ball and a string.
But they can't figure out what it's for.
Yes.
Because they're holding it the wrong way by the ball.
Yes.
But then also, once they hand it to Hard Luck Chuck, he immediately figures out what it's for.
Yes.
Yes, I love that just makes Chuck seem smarter than these kids.
It's such a good little gag.
Yeah.
But hey, Whirl has great news. They're going on a field trip.
Yay! Field trip!
So they're heading out to go, and they almost get there before Hotshot annoys everybody with his ringtone, which is indeed La Cucaracha.
Oh yeah, wasn't it? Oh, because he has that ringtone set for Cody, was it?
Yes.
Why?
And La Cucaracha. Well, because he's a stupid car.
Well, yes, but why?
So they end up in the barren wastelands with Boulder. And
it's extremely it's like Yellowstone, basically.
Yeah.
Yes.
Didn't they go to a place with geysers before?
I think they did.
They do mention that this is over a super volcano. Also, you can legit die in a place like this. It happens all the time.
Well, humans can, because boiling hot liquids with various chemicals inside them.
Yeah, there was a whole thing I was reading a couple weeks ago about, like, a bison just wandering into one of these things and getting stuck and dying while tourists were just watching because they couldn't do anything because, A, it's a bison, it doesn't know you're trying to help, and B, like, they would also die. Like, it's dangerous.
Oh, and I've heard about, like, a guy who fell into, like, this acid pool and just, like, dissolved.
Yeah. Yeah, like because sometimes those geysers are, like, super acidic and they will just, like, dissolve you.
Like, I think they found, like, you know, they came back for the guy and they found, like, his watch and that's it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah,
nothing else left.
These volcanic springs around Yellowstone are incredibly dangerous.
And also, there are a bunch of warning signs, and people don't pay attention to them.
Hmm.
In another Yellowstone-related anecdote, I remember hearing a thing from the designer of the guy who made, like, bear-proof garbage containers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there is a somewhat significant overlap between the smartest bear and the dumbest tourist.
Yes. That is unfortunately true.
So, you know, they've got a whole bunch of science stuff to sort of, you know, measure and see if this is safe for humans.
Because Boulder as they drive through the space bridge, Boulder has a big cube in his shovel.
Yes.
Which, at first I thought, why did he bring his companion cube with him, but they have the scientific equipment in there. Or why did he bring a ball for Hotshot to play with?
Cube. So Hotshot, just to distract him so that everyone else can do real work.
Well, Hotshot does wander off into the hot springs a bit.
Yes.
He explains to them the importance of leaving no trace.
Yes. Hmm. And Hotshot finds like a rock with some metal in it that he thinks is pretty cool.
Oh no!
Hoist
finds the rock. And yeah, because Hoist and Whirl find a. It is a crater in the ground, and Hoist finds a rock in the bottom of the crater.
Falls
and
into then, it. He notes that it is a cool rock.
And then Hotshot finds something that's been chewing up all the metal in the rocks in the area, including a road sign. And so it very quickly becomes obvious that they've got a real scrap of the problem. These are scraplets that are very similar to the ones that we saw in Transformers Prime.
Yeah,
yeah, these they're basically identical in that they're uniform in design. They got a big head and a little spindly body.
They're extremely aligned universe scraplets. Mm-hmm. They're so cute.
So they run away. They end up losing Boulder. And then they end up stuck on a rock bridge. And they sort of try and hide from them by just hanging off it in a big robot chain.
It has been a while since we've had a Beast Wars rock bridge.
Oh, the classic Beast Wars rock bridge.
Good old Beast Wars rock bridge.
They blew up so many rock bridges on that show.
Yes.
They popped up in some other shows nowhere near as much as they did Beast Wars.
No.
And this is the first one it feels like we've had in a couple of years.
If I ever do a Beast Wars rewatch, I'm definitely doing a rock bridge count.
Yes.
Yeah, so bridge falls, everyone dies while they fall off the bridge and land on Boulder.
Yes.
It's like, hey, we found it.
And I guess I'd forgotten that, because the scraplets in the comics were destroyed by water.
Yes.
And I thought that was going to come into play here with the geysers.
Yeah, well, there's a point where they're running, where there's like a stream in the background, but this is not a show where we do that. We do not.
No.
We do not resort to violence in Rescue Bots Academy.
No.
I know, which it just feels so weird when dealing with scraplets, though. Because, like, the two sides of my brain that love how sweet and innocent this show is, compared to scraplets are murderous parasites.
This like, is, like, them. An exceptionally high level of peril for Rescue Bots Academy.
Yes.
Although, unlike on the Prime episodes, you don't actually see the Rescue Bots getting gnawed on by these things.
Yes. No, we don't get to that. But they do say, like, as they're running away, well, Boulder says, like, oh, why are the scraplets, like, breaking off to eat the metal in rocks or something? No, because their favorite food is living metal. Yes.
Yeah, they make it clear that this is pretty dangerous.
These guys are highly dangerous.
This is pretty serious, actually, for a change.
Well, in fact, Boulder just, like, walls them up in a cave.
The kids, not the scraplets.
Yes.
Yeah, to keep them away from the scraplets. Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, So they then figure out that crater they found was a meteorite that was full of scraplets. And thus, that little rock that Hoist has taken as a souvenir does indeed have a scraplet in it, albeit a baby scraplet.
It's so
this
little.
Is the second episode we've had with a living rock.
Yes.
It's just a baby scraplet. They don't make it like different proportions or anything, but it is it is little bitty.
Yeah.
Someone's really thinking about Battle of the Rock Lords. I guess this was probably around the time that they were thinking about making those rock guys at Hasbro HQ.
Yeah, I could see that.
Oh yeah, but Boulder has been trying to call Heatwave on the
Yes
subspace radio.
I need to watch Battle of the Rock Lords.
Yeah, one
there
of these
VHS
days.
Rips of it on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, of course there.
I should have watched it at TFCon.
And anyway, he is in Griffin Rock dealing with an ice cream emergency.
Yes. Which we don't see.
The most important kind of emergency.
Yes.
We don't see Jerry, but the last time we did see Jerry, he was driving that ice cream truck.
Yep.
They stopped letting him drive hazardous materials.
I do like that cutaway when Heatwave's explaining that, oh yeah, we had to stop an ice cream truck. Cody's just sitting in the back of the truck eating ice cream.
I mean, it was all going to spoil, so, you know.
Yeah, it's yeah. Like, did they have to stop and help, or did Cody just want some ice cream?
It was an emergency.
Ice cream emergency.
Do we know if Cody is diabetic?
Probably not. That probably would have come up. There probably would have been like a special, very special episode about that.
Probably, yes.
So they are able to evade this baby scrablet. And meanwhile, Boulder, Heatwave is now there, and Boulder is helping him to lure these scraplets into the ice cream truck, which is lined with fiberglass, which they apparently they will not eat anything that's not metal, even to get to metal.
Well, maybe yeah, they can't. Seems... Maybe they can only digest metal.
You think they have those teeth,
guess,
though. They
but
could
they
just
have really,
like,
really sharp teeth.
Right, they could just, like, chew it up and spit it out.
Well, maybe they're not that smart.
Also possible.
I guess. It seemed like a weird excuse to have, oh, we have a metal truck that we can contain them in because it's filled with fiberglass.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking at one point in this episode that Team Prime really should have, like, put a warning and some notes about this area, but I guess these did not originate with them. They originated on, like, a meteor.
Well, yeah, this seems like it's a new crater.
Yeah, this seems like a new arrival.
Yeah. Because I was originally thinking that they were escapees, but they were not actually escaped from Jasper. Because it is, like, in the same geographic region. But no, that is just a geographic region where they would not encounter their natural enemy, water.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, no, water wasn't a defense against them in the Prime episode, was it?
Well, they took them to the Arctic in the Prime episode, and they froze.
Oh, yeah, cold. Yeah, so they should have brought up yes. the ice cream
well,
truck.
Well, that's what I thought the ice cream truck was going to be for. They were wheeling.
Yeah.
But
no,
maybe
it was just full of fiberglass, and the scraplets, when presented with an obstacle that is not made of metal, will just shrug and go into hibernation or something.
Yes.
Having cold as a weakness for them makes more sense than water, because water is ridiculous, it's freaking everywhere. But then again, so is cold, but it sort of makes sense they would go into hibernation.
Small,
in space.
Round, big-eyed hibernation.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, they've caught them all, even the little baby one who runs back to the family. Yay.
Yes. So we're back at the base. They talk about, oh yeah, we sent the scraplets back into space. But they hear a terrifying munching noise that is just Cody eating a gigantic carrot like he's Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. My brain, because their scrapless was playing it very weird the way Heatwave was delivering the, oh yes, we put them on a rocket and sent them into space into a planet full of metal that they can eat for the rest of their lives.
Yes, we,
while
we,
he's got his fingers crossed and saying, I promise we didn't shoot them into the sun. Where they could never devour living metal life forms ever again.
Sent them to a metal farm upstate.
Yes. Like, because Heatwave seems very practical. And scraplets! Scraplets since G1 comics. Like, these
yeah.
are one of the most dangerous things to Transformers.
Heatwave does seem like a guy who would shoot them into the sun.
Yes.
I don't think any of the others would do that, but I think he would.
Alright, and next up, it is time to be prepared.
Be prepared. Our teeth and ambitions are bared. It's time to be prepared.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. They originally had Jeremy Irons for this episode, but his voice blew out halfway through it, and the rest of it's just Jim Cummings for some reason.
Yes, I watched that video today trying to figure out, like, when they switch over.
At which
There's
point...
There's a very clear demarcation point where he just turns into Darkwing Duck.
Yes,
It's just crazy that they did like this is an expensive movie. Why don't you just give Irons a little time to rest and recover there, and then record the rest of the song.
Until he feels better.
They might have been afraid he would blow it out again.
They might have been getting to the end of it.
Well, he'd only have to do the second part, and then he'd be done.
And it might have also been early in production where, okay, we have to wait for him to recover to record the rest of his lines. We can't have him sing that song again at the end.
I guess.
Like, voice actors, when they blow their voice out, you have to be very careful. Or they may be out for a year.
Oh, I guess that's true. It's the professional athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
It's the equivalent of blowing out your ACL.
Anime dubbing, Excel Saga. Mm-hmm. There's a dub that was really good, but halfway through the series, the main actress doing the English dub blew her voice out, who was voicing the main title character, Excel. Ooh. And she had to be replaced, and she was in anime dubbing for 6 months after that.
Ooh.
That's rough.
Like, the next time I saw her in anything, because I saw her at a con one time, so I knew what she looked like, she was in a random commercial I saw on TV not speaking.
Oof.
So for a while, she had to get roles that didn't involve her voice, her main thing. So, you gotta be careful with your voice. Anyway, all right. I have to let a cat out. Keep talking.
Okay.
Felix, okay, fine. You can go out too. Stop circling.
So yeah, this is episode 44 of Rescue Bots Academy. First aired November 9th, 2019. Written by Nathan Cockrell. Last scene around these parts. Right in Digfest.
Ooh, I liked Digfest.
Digfest.
I want to go to Digfest.
Diggy Diggy Fest.
And so Hotshot's just got all of his junk is in the student lounge, and everybody is trying to get it out of there. And Hoist has a great idea. There's just like this empty room that we can use, but Wedge is very distressed about them using this empty room because it turns out this is indeed his terrifying Bumblebee shrine.
Also, Hotshot apparently just had like lots of boxes of crap that they're like, why are you even moving this? And I just felt a little called out as someone who was involved in a move that included things like a Betamax tape of Faulty Towers and a 28-inch CRT.
Okay, the junk that Hotshot, he's directing them where to move things.
Yes,
he's not actually carrying anything. All the junk is like, it's tropical themed stuff that I would expect to be in a tiki bar.
Maybe he was trying to set up a tiki bar.
Yeah, like short of having like tiki masks, like there's a moai, there's an inflatable like pine tree or palm tree and stuff. It's like, what the fuck is all this shit?
Well, also, what the fuck is all this shit is Wedge's room.
Yes, admittedly, if Hotshot could wear clothes, he definitely would have a Hawaiian shirt.
Yes.
But, yes, Wedge's weird shrine to Bumblebee. Like,
he should hang out with Alex Malto from Earthspark.
Oh, and is David S. Bumblebee's suit?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's like, it's a room filled with lots of Bumblebee toys and play action features,
posters, and posters. Some of it looks like animated Bumblebee. Some of it's like movie Bumblebee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of the designs are kind of weird. Well, one of them very specifically is like animated Bumblebee standing there with the way the stripes are. It's
yes,
like asymmetrical. But like a lot of the Bumblebees in there don't quite match the design of any Bumblebee because he's got a very round head.
Yeah.
Like no Bumblebee has a head quite... Well... No, animated Bumblebee isn't like that. It's odd. But it is a very well-designed room filled with Bumblebee stuff.
Yes. And hey, as they're admiring all of this, they see the Sigma's coming in, and it turns out that it does indeed have Bumblebee on it.
Yay!
Oh yeah, it's a room with a window, too.
Yes.
Who Blades introduces as his bestest old buddy.
Yes.
Which... is true.
So cute.
Yes, Beeblebum is here.
He's here.
And Blades is very excited because, of course, Bumblebee is his best friend.
Yes.
So he believes.
Of course. As we know. As everyone knows. I have a random toy of this design of Bumblebee that's like a 12-inch, just like solid, non-transforming thing that I got as half of a lot with the smaller version of RID Fix-It. And it just, like, lives in my kitchen because I have no better place to put it. So it's just on top of the fridge for no reason.
Oh. Yeah, the design of this Bumblebee is different also. It's very much the evergreen design. Like, it's kind of like the one I got, like, Hero Mashers or whatever that's called, the new thing.
But much like with when Grimlock showed up, this is very, like, Robots in Disguise Dad Bee.
Yeah.
Just in his writing, because he is like, we're gonna do maintenance and preparation, super important.
And this guy is doing a pretty reasonable match of the voice.
Yeah, not a bad Will Friedle.
Yeah, he's fine. That's a problem with a lot of this Rescue Bots Academy, because we have all the non-union voice actors. A lot of them are decent.
Yeah.
It's just the whiplash from the Rescue Bots we remember from last series.
Yes.
But yeah, it's been long enough that I haven't heard Will Friedle, that it's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Close enough.
And so they're very excited for whatever exciting, you know, super dangerous and cool mission he's going to have them do. But it turns out that it is less that and more like one of those sort of training videos.
Yeah.
But he's fairly excited about it. So it's your dad showing up and being like, hey, we're going to do some yard work today.
That's right.
Yes. Happy maintenance day.
Get out the power washer. I mean, he's trying. He's trying his best to sell it. He's very earnest about it. He clearly thinks that this is exciting.
Fortunately, Wedge he thinks that Bumblebee is playing like four-dimensional chess here.
Yeah, he's overthinking into insanity.
And he's like, okay, well, obviously this is so stupid that Bumblebee's just trying to trick me into doing this when he really thinks that I should be going to Griffin Rock and doing rescues.
Yeah, obviously.
First off, he helps an old lady across the street who does not wish to go across the street.
While Blades and Bumblebee are just chatting nearby.
And then he ends up frightening a cat and then destroying a fruit stall like he's in a chase scene in a Cannonball Run movie.
The cat is very much the Petty Paws model. But not Petty Paws.
My headcanon is that was one of Mr. Petty Paws' litter mates.
Or kids.
Perhaps this is the son of Petty Paws.
Ooh, possibly.
Petty Paws Jr. I mean, given that she was constantly getting him stuck up a tree, it's also possible. I don't know whether she had him fixed or not.
I mean, I would hope so, but I guess that's possible. What with all the getting stuck up a tree and wandering and causing problems.
But then it turns out that there is a true emergency, and that is that the clown that two people hired for their daughter's birthday party has not turned up.
Yes.
That is a genuine emergency that they need to rescue him.
Yes.
Here's where we get into things that I found on the wiki, or lack thereof.
Uh-huh.
Because in like the cast list, like, has all the bots and things. Humans listed Jerry. We'll get to Jerry. Mm-hmm. Or did we already get to him driving?
I've not noticed Jerry in this episode.
No, I think we see him really quick. I don't know if he has a line. He's driving the truck that almost runs him over.
Yeah, he's driving Also, can you imagine with this poor old lady just living in a town where you just have these giant robot children just running around doing children things, except they're giant robots?
Yeah. But second human listed is Josh.
Right.
Because it's in the credits. The guy that voices Bumblebee also voices Josh.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Who the fuck is Josh?
You know, Josh.
I think Josh is the father here.
I think so. Judging by the voice, because he's doing, like, a thick accent, and it might still be him. But there's also the vegetable cart guy who is the owner of the Not Petty Paws.
Oh, yeah, that's also possible.
Also has a line.
Yeah, that's also possible.
So it's a problem. It's like there's two speaking males
that
don't get named in the episode, but the credits list a Josh.
Yes.
You'll have to contact the writer, like, 6 years after this was aired.
I guess.
And see if they can tell us.
The wiki, like, it has a disambiguate page. You click on Josh, it goes to a disambiguate page for Josh's, because we got Josh Burcham and Dumal and so many others, Josh Perez. Like, lots of Josh's that are real or in movies and things. But not this one, because we don't know which fucking Josh it is. It's just Josh.
Actual Josh's.
No, apparently one of the Joshuas is or Josh's is Stanley Tucci's character from Age of Extinction.
Oh no.
Oh.
I mean, that's not a good movie, but Stanley Tucci is probably the highlight of it.
It is some good Stanley Tucci.
Kinda, yeah.
I don't like it as much as, like, Merlin Stanley Tucci.
No, Merlin Stanley Tucci is the best.
Inexplicable Merlin Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
And then, of course, later in the film, Codename...
Who is...
Oh, I was going to say, later in the movie, Codename is Stanley Tucci's skeleton.
Yes.
It's my favorite kind of Merlin, who's a Merlin full of bullshit. Like, magic isn't real.
Yeah.
Like, he's just faking shit.
My favorite kind of Merlin is Merklin from Visionaries.
I mean, Merklin is the best Merlin who isn't Merlin, but it's totally Merlin.
Such an asshole.
Anyway, okay, so that's problem number one. Let's continue on to the party.
Yes, so much like the Hulk in the first ever issue of Avengers, Hoist must become a robot clown.
Yes.
Because I will note that is what the Hulk is doing in the first issue of Avengers. He is masquerading as not only a clown, but a robot clown.
Sure. Oh, I mean, I guess you just want to, like, really go for the bit.
Yeah.
And he's in a circus, and it's not even the circus of crime.
It's just a regular circus.
Which is shocking, because whenever you go to the circus in the Marvel Universe, 9 times out of 10, it's the circus of crime.
Yeah. If it's not already the circus of the crime, the circus of crime will show up to the circus.
I mean, who even goes to the circus anymore? But people in the Marvel Universe, they go all the time, and it's always the circus of crime.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, circuses really don't exist.
At this point, I think you're just going because you want to see the circus of crime.
Maybe.
I will admit, like, that the circus of crime is mostly uninvolved with animal acts, so they've always been ahead of the curve there.
Well, I mean, with the exception, of course, of Princess Python.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there's just her. It's fine. It's not like they have a lion tamer act in elephants.
I mean, they often do, but they don't have, like, a specific villain associated with them.
No, they might, as the front, they might have had that in the past. But right. It's like, it's not their main thing.
It's an act that they could easily cut without causing any thematic problems for anyone.
Anyway, so yes, this, like, they ask him, can you juggle? And they have a bowling ball and a beach ball. And then it's like, oh, can you ride a unicycle? But that's too small. Oh, wait, we have a giant car tire for some reason in our garage.
It's like a giant tractor, Tyler.
Yeah, tractor. It's like, why is that in your garage? What the hell?
So it's going pretty well for a while, at least until he takes a header into the birthday cake.
Yes, okay. The birthday party. Who's at the birthday party? Okay, we have, I think it's the birthday girl. And then there's a kid in a robot costume. Why are people in costumes?
Like a very beep boop.
I guess it's a theme party.
It really makes me think of Cartman's Awesome-O robot costume from South Park.
It is kind of like that, or I don't know, maybe Family Guy had a robot gag like that too. Two kids dressed as cops. What the fuck, kids? Fuck you too.
You know, it's Griffin Rock.
Okay, fine, but still.
A town with literally two cops.
The other two costumes Yeah. Are the Gamera and Godzilla from the Halloween episode.
It's probably the same kids. It's like, oh, we're not getting costumes for your birthday party, Megan.
They got these very nice costumes.
They are very nice costumes. It is neat that, well, because they have the character models around. But if you have those two costumes, you've had parents that have given you and made you these two cool costumes, you're going to wear them every opportunity you can.
You could be like my younger nephew who will absolutely just wear his Gohan costume pants out in, like, public.
But again, they're not mentioned on the wiki.
Oh, well, you gotta put them on then.
So I have to edit the wiki again for the same characters.
That's what it's for.
Admittedly, Kenshiro is not here.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that guy was like an adult.
Yeah, that would be weird if he was at this party.
My understanding is that kids should not be watching Fist of the North Star.
No.
Generally, no.
That should have been the dad.
I was too young to watch Fist of the North Star and I was in high school.
Bullshit, I saw it. Well, I forget if I rented it from Blockbuster or I saw the Sci-Fi Channel edit originally. But then again, it's always been heavily edited. The original unedited version doesn't exist, as far as anyone knows.
Oh, that sounds like a challenge.
So, well, it may exist in Italy.
Oh, no.
So it was even more violent than a guy punching guys and making them explode?
Yes, because in the original scenes, like, there was a shitload of blood in the original version.
Okay.
And it was edited kind of weirdly, like, switching colors. Like, what they could do to edit around it while still containing as much of the animation as they could. So there's high-quality versions of most of the movie, except for those scenes.
So it's just like a guy exploding into, like, green fluid?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, okay.
Or it's just a quick cutaway. It's, like, very fast. It's weird. There's a whole history to that, if you want to look it up on the internet. It's strange. I think somebody might have found some of the original footage, but, like, again, it's weird.
The internet will tell you.
Anyway, point is, I have to edit the wiki again after this episode. Well, after we watch Monster Dawn after this episode. But I have to add Gamera and Godzilla back in.
Yes.
Of course.
And have question mark, who the fuck is Josh? Oh, I'm going to put that under animation errors and technical errors. Who the fuck is Josh?
There's someone in the voice credits as Josh, but no one referred to by that name.
There are multiple guys who could be Josh.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I could throw that in discussion or something, but
he gets back to the base and gets there just in time for Bumblebee to say that, hey, everybody's done such a good job on maintenance that we're gonna go to the danger room, we're gonna do a rescue simulation.
Yay! It's a snowy mountain, it's hikers. Man, you know, hikers, they get in trouble a lot, and that is entirely realistic in my experience.
Now, in your experience, is it just bad luck for the hikers, or are these hikers unprepared?
A little of both. There was a big problem during COVID with people just being like, we're going to go to the park, and showing up to do old rag, which is about like an 8 to 9 mile up a mountain. There's bits where you have to like squeeze through some rocks and scramble over some other rocks, and people would just show up in like flip-flops because they came from DC and they just googled what's a good hike in Shenandoah, and sometimes they're grossly unprepared, sometimes they get way too close to steep places. That's really the big things. Occasionally you have somebody who just like, there was one fairly recently who I think he just like had a heart attack.
That'll just happen.
That's just bad luck. I mean, I guess there are worse places to die of a heart attack, because at least you're in the woods and it's quiet. Nobody's bothering you as you die. Anyway, it's a little of all of it.
Thank you, Jen. Now I know, and knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
My God, did that smell.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Alright, so, and in another important moral here, Wedge has totally ignored all of his maintenance requests, and is probably now like, he's got like a bunch of cake in him now.
Yeah, he's covered in frosting, and it's clouded up his visor, so he missed the important maintenance step of visor cleaning, as Maddox informs him.
And done weird things to his arms where they're stuck out, like his extendo arms.
I think his joints are just full of cake.
Yeah, cake and frosting. It's sweet, sweet sprinkles.
And so he's just creaking all over the place, and then he eventually just, like, passes out.
Yep, he gets into the simulated mountain, and he's just done.
So he finally has to get the maintenance done, and then probably says that, you know, once you're fixed up, we'll get you back in that simulation.
Bumblebee did notice all those things that he was doing, even though it looked like Bumblebee was just talking to Blades the whole time. Because he says, maybe because you were too busy helping that little old lady cross the street and helping with that guy's cat. And so maybe you were too busy. So he noticed, because he's a good dad Bumblebee.
And, you know, maybe you'll get your own Heroes of Cybertron card one day.
Aww.
And that is the episode. You know, this is a pair of fun episodes. I like Hoist making a total fool of himself.
Yeah.
And the scrapbooks were fine. Although, again, I do miss the peril of guys actually getting gnawed upon. Although you're not going to do that on Rescue Bots.
Yeah, that.
It was surprisingly dangerous for Rescue Bots Academy, but I appreciate that they found a non-violent solution as suited the setting, assuming that you believe that Heatwave actually just sent them off to a metal farm upstate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Scraplets, like, having the kids encounter Scraplets is such a weird idea, because it's like, oh, it's kind of a simple thing they could deal with and, like, put them away, but the solution to Scraplets is always kill them. Because they devour Transformers.
Scraplets are adorable and also profoundly horrifying and dangerous.
Yeah. They're just such an existential terror. It's weird.
But they are cute. They're so round.
Yes.
They're very
cute. And their
cute.
Eyes are so big.
Yeah, because part of the thing is also because, like, the G1 Comics version of Scraplets is the prime one in my head. I see that cover all the time when I think of Scraplets. Yes.
It's a good cover. It's a really good cover.
They're horrible. Also, I kind of prefer when they look like nuts and bolts. It's such a simple,
yes,
good iconography for them.
Naturally occurring levers and gears.
Yeah. Weird little murder dudes, but yeah, that one's cute. It's fine. Although in a way, it feels like Hoist becomes the main character in a lot of episodes.
Or Wedge.
Like, yes. I think the writers just really like
Hoist
him.
Hoist was the main character in the first one. Wedge was in the second one.
This is true.
Well, he's good. He's a good boy.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems like Hoist and to an extent Wedge become the main character more often than Hotshot, which I appreciate. Hotshot is the annoying one. And the second episode, I need to do more work on the wiki.
Yes.
All right, and that is it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots Academy action. But until then, we are all over the internet. We are on Facebook, we are on Mastodon, we are on Blue Sky, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is patreon.com/iconunderground. For July, we watched an episode. We got excited for Superman, which was an excellent movie.
Yes.
By watching some of the late aughts Legion of Superheroes cartoon, which has a lot of creative DNA with Transformers Animated. Specifically, I picked a Marty Eisenberg episode. So that was a lot of fun to take a look at, because that's gotten kind of, I mean, it hasn't been shoved in a closet like some other series I can mention, Micronauts Revolution, but it's one that is overlooked and forgotten. So that was a lot of fun to take a look at. For August, we will be watching, you said it was a 90s episode of Fantastic Four cartoon,
that
right?
That is correct. Yes,
it's not the classic episode.
The darkest era of Fantastic Four cartoons, I would say.
And see, with that show, there was there was a good season and a bad season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can probably guess which season I'll be drawn from.
The bad season.
Sounds like it's going to be amazing.
I'm going to tell your will to live that it's clobbering time.
Can we just watch one of the classic episodes with Magneto in it, where he's shouting in his levitating car?
The very sight of that sign offends me.
I should look those up. I need to look up more random old things.
Those aren't on Disney Plus. Neither is the 60s Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, that's a shame.
I think they are on, or were on YouTube. Maybe they're not anymore.
I would not be surprised if they're. Well, of course, the 70s one. Of course, that is not analogous enough to the one we watched because it doesn't have the Human Torch in it.
No.
They replaced it with Herbie the Robot.
It's got Herbie.
Well, but Herbie's in the movie, so it works
out. He is in the movie.
With good old Frank Welker doing his Scooter voice.
He is extremely Frank Welker in that 70s screen. Well, we'll wait for Fantastic Four Second Steps.
Yes.
Or I'll just make us watch like that French anime one they made in the 2000s.
Oof. I am unfamiliar with that one, but it sounds horrifying.
They actually just put it up on Disney Plus in Canada. It's not bad.
Because it's French.
Well, it's like that. It's like, like Totally Spies, where it's like anime, but it's also French. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you mean.
Okay, yeah.
Code Lyoko.
There is a She-Hulk episode that's written by Dan Slott.
Ooh.
Okay, put that on the slate somewhere. Make a note.
Put it on the short list.
Also has a brief appearance from Squirrel Girl.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's the one that
Squirrel
Girl.
I didn't realize
Girl.
that was in the Squirrel Girl era yet.
No, this was back before she had her own book and had just really recently appeared in the Great Lakes Avengers book by Slott.
Yeah, that was like the first animated thing she'd been in. Like, that was the resurgence when they just stuck her in that cartoon. I forgot what cartoon it was.
Yes.
The beginning of the return of Squirrel Girl.
Well, she's only in for, like, a scene.
Yeah. She's a cutaway gag, basically.
Mm.
Yesterday, I found out that there was a Stargate cartoon that I'd never heard of. So there's so many cartoons.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That just didn't know existed.
You know what else no one's heard of? Okay, I'll shut up.
Micronauts.
Yes.
It's so fun and it's so sad that no one can see it unless they're like hitting up the right people's DMs for shared folders.
You can't see it, but Jen is waggling her eyebrows.
Yes. Psst. Hey, opening my trench coat.
She's like Lefty from Sesame Street.
Exactly. Anyway, yes. Yeah, I was not familiar with this French Fantastic Four cartoon, so.
Well, they released it around the same time as the first Fantastic Four movies with, Jessica Alba and Michael Chiklis and such.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So until next time, and of course we'll be getting to some more Rescue Bots Academy next week. And let's just say we'll be learning a very important lesson about millennials and using their cell phones all the time.
Oh, no.
Yes, and you can go back, if you missed it, to last week's episode of our review of Gundam G-Quarks on our SSSS Gridman podcast. What are we calling? I forget what it was called.
Yeah. Superhuman Samurai Cyber Pod.
Oh, yes. Our monthly anime diversion to confuse Rob.
Yes.
I mean, listen, you are subjecting me to anime, so I am counterattacking by subjecting you to bad superhero cartoons.
That's fair.
Jen.
Yes.
When we finish G-Quux, should we make him watch Char's Counterattack?
I need to watch Char's Counterattack. I finished Double Zeta, and it is time for Char's Counterattack. So I could be talked into that, because I just went from Double Zeta into Micronauts, so.
Well, no, I'm just talking about, like, 8 months from now.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to wait. I might watch it.
Well, no, you're not going to wait for our plan.
Maybe. I'll see how I feel about it once I watch it.
Unless Hathaway 2 is out by then.
Yes.
We may have Char's Counterattack in our future. Distant future.
Of
next year.
All right.
Doing something extremely wicked, Amuro.
All the memes.
All right. So until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.